All right, brethren, last time we looked in John 10 at the door. This time we're going to look at Christ the shepherd, the good shepherd. He said there in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Christ is the good shepherd of the sheep. He has a people. A shepherd is a relative office. That means if you're going to be a shepherd, you have to have some sheep. And Christ has some sheep. God's elect, chosen from before the world was made, are his sheep. Christ is the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's the great shepherd. That word is pastor. It's several words used for the office of a pastor, bishop, elder, presbyter, shepherd. I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but anyway, they're all the same office. And so Christ is the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd, the bishop and shepherd of our souls. And he provides under-shepherds, preachers, who have a message that he sends them to proclaim, the message of Christ himself. They're sent to feed the sheep with this gospel, with the word of Christ and what he has done for his people. They're sent to lead with the gospel of Christ. They're just a voice. They're just a voice crying in the wilderness. But it's his voice that he makes his people to hear. He's the great shepherd. He promised, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. In our text, our great shepherd is preaching this message, and he's preaching to scribes and Pharisees, religious leaders, and he's calling them thieves and robbers. He's declaring they're not faithful shepherds, they're false shepherds. And he's contrasting himself and his under shepherds with these false shepherds. So let's read verse 1 again. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you. Now, he had just been speaking to them at the end of chapter 9. He's still speaking to them. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now, let me review just a minute for anybody that wasn't here last time, but a sheepfold was a temporary place where a shepherd would bring his sheep and leave them there overnight. It had walls around it to protect the sheep, and there was a porter. He was the doorkeeper who kept the door, and the shepherd would leave his sheep there, and then he'd come back when he was ready to lead them out to pasture. He would come to the door, and the porter would open the door to him. And he would call his sheep by name. There was a lot of sheep in there. There was sheep in there that weren't his. And he would call his sheep by name. And his sheep heard his voice, and he led them out and led them out to the pasture. But our Lord says, but men who don't come to the door, but try to climb up over the wall and steal the sheep, they're thieves and robbers. Thieves and robbers. So our great shepherd here defines all false shepherds. Right off the bat here, he describes a false shepherd and contrasts it with true shepherd. He said, the false shepherd enters not by the door into the sheepfold. He climbs up some other way. That one is a thief and a robber. Now, any other way than Christ is not the way. Any other way than Christ is not the way. He said later in the passage, I am the door. Any man that enters has to enter by the door. And then he said, I'm the shepherd who enters by the door. He's the door, and he's the shepherd who entered by the door. How can that be? Because our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the way. He is the way, and he's the shepherd that leads into the way. But now these men he was talking to were false shepherds. In chapter 9, the Lord Jesus had come to a blind man. Been blind from his birth, gave him sight. More importantly, gave him spiritual sight. But immediately, these scribes and Pharisees had one agenda. They started trying to turn that man from Christ. They started trying to turn him away from Christ. They spoke against Christ. They called Christ a sinner. They did everything they could to turn that man from Christ. Why? They had not entered the door. They had not entered by faith in Christ, and they were trying to keep others from entering by faith in Christ. And our Lord said that. He said, "You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither you suffer them that are entering to go in." Now listen to the contrast in verse 2. "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Christ Jesus is both the shepherd and he's the door. What does that mean? He lawfully fulfilled the will of his Father in saving his people. The people that he came to save were flesh and blood, so the Son of God took flesh and blood. Sinless humanity. That's why he was born of a virgin. Sinless, without sin, unlike anybody else born into this world. And why did he do that? He came and made himself under the law to fulfill the law for his people. What Brother Rob just read, our Lord Jesus declared, it's not enough to have that righteousness the scribes and Pharisees had. Everybody looked at him, thought they were righteous. He said, you got to have a righteousness that exceeds that. Christ is that righteousness. He wasn't saying you need to try harder than the Pharisees. He's saying, I came to fulfill the law. I didn't come to abolish it. I came to fulfill it and uphold it and bring in an everlasting righteousness for my people. And that's what he did. That's what he did. And now he's risen and reigning as the great shepherd of his sheep. And he's filling all in all in his church. He is the one who gets the glory for being the great shepherd, the great pastor, who is God and man and human glorified flesh at God's right hand. So he's the door and he's the shepherd who calls his sheep into him. Now, Christ the shepherd is going to send his under shepherds. How's he going to make his under shepherd? How's he going to make another sinner come and preach nothing but the message of Christ and him crucified? He's going to have to experience the power and wisdom of our Lord Jesus Christ first. He's going to have to be called into the door first by the shepherd. And so he makes his under-shepherd by making us hear his voice and his power in the preaching of the gospel. They're just sinners. Just sinners. But Christ sends the gospel and he calls them. He makes them experience the power and wisdom of God, makes them hear his voice. He makes his under-shepherd see our vileness before God. And he doesn't let you stop seeing your vileness before God. The Lord's going to keep his shepherd humble. He's not going to let his shepherd be puffed up. He's going to keep him humble. And one way he does that is making us see our vileness. And he's going to keep showing you sin is what you are. Sin is what you are. Sin is what you got to be saved from. Self's what you got to be saved from. This is what he makes his shepherd know. And he makes us know he alone is salvation. He shows his shepherd what he sends him to preach, that Christ came and Christ put away sin by the sacrifice of himself and made his people the everlastingly righteous. And he's entered into glory now and he's the great shepherd. And when he makes his under-shepherd see this, he makes him know he personally is a sinner. He makes the preacher that preaches him know he's a sinner. And that's all he is a sinner, saved by the grace of God. He's made to enter Christ by faith, and Christ is leading his preacher. He's leading his preacher. He's teaching his preacher. He's rebuking his preacher. He won't ever preach a message that the Lord don't first rebuke him with it first. Because else he wouldn't preach as a sinner to sinners. He would preach as somebody above sinners. And he has to be kept down and kept low and made to know he's the self-righteous one. He's the vile one outside of Christ and apart from Christ. But Christ keeps leading and teaching and guiding and directing so that the under-shepherd knows that the power for this work is Christ and it's not himself. The power for this work is his grace. And so he'll go forth and he'll preach one message because he's experienced it. He's experienced the power and wisdom of God in saving through the message of Christ and him crucified. Man hadn't experienced it. The way you can tell it, he will not enter by the door, and he won't teach others, sinners, to enter by the door. Being led of Christ himself, his under-shepherds, utterly dependent upon Christ, his own self. He knows Christ is the great shepherd who leads his sheep, and so he's content to follow Christ. He's content to wait on Christ. He's content to preach the gospel of Christ, and he knows the shepherd is the chief, and he's nothing without him. He knows this. That's the mark of the true shepherd that Christ sends to oversee his sheep. He entered by the door. He knows he's a sinner. He speaks of sin and himself as a sinner because he sees what a great sinner he is. And he speaks of Christ being the only righteousness of his people because he sees Christ as his only righteousness. He proclaims Christ as his holiness because he knows what it is to be sanctified by the sanctifier and kept separated unto him when everything around him and everything in him would have led him away. And so he preaches Christ. He looks up to the great shepherd as a sinful sheep sent to lead other sinful sheep. He's just a sinful sheep trying to lead other sinners to Christ. And so he's looking to the great shepherd of the sheep. So that's the first mark. He enters by the door. The true shepherd entered by the door. Christ did. He's risen and he makes his under shepherds enter by the door. And then secondly, Christ declares that it's only for Christ that the Spirit opens and makes his sheep hear Christ's voice. It's only for Christ that the Spirit will open and make his sheep hear his voice. It's only by the Spirit and only for Christ that the Spirit does this. He says in verse 2, "He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out." The Spirit of God, just like a porter, is at the door, and Christ, or the shepherd comes to the door, and the porter opens the door for the shepherd. Christ is the shepherd, and the Spirit of God opens. He opens the door for Christ to enter in. He's going to send the gospel by his under-shepherd, and the Spirit of God's going to open for Christ to enter in so that his sheep can hear Christ's voice. It's Christ's voice we have to hear. And we can only do that by the Spirit of God opening up our heart and giving us an ear to hear Christ. And when he does this, Christ calls his own sheep by name. That's what he says there. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. And leadeth them out. He knows his own sheep personally. Christ knows every one of his elect personally. And he calls each of his elect personally. We're not talking about an audible voice that you're going to hear. But it's in, really and truly, it's more powerful than an audible voice. A lot of people heard his audible voice who walked away and left him. But those that heard his voice in the heart, who was moved in the heart by the Spirit, they couldn't leave him. And so it is with his people. He told Jeremiah, he was an under-shepherd, and he told Jeremiah this, and this is so of all his sheep. Well, as far as him knowing us, he said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." He said, "I formed thee, but before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." And then said Jeremiah, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child." But the Lord said to me, "Say not I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I'm with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." And then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, "Behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." And he does that through the preaching of the word. Through the preaching of the word. And because his under-shepherds experienced this, he knows it's not the voice of the under-shepherd that's going to work this. The excellency of the powers of God. That's why we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. The excellency of the powers of God. He calls his own sheep by name and draws us to himself. And by his Spirit, the sheep hear his voice. They hear the voice of our shepherd, and his sheep follow Christ the shepherd. He said in verse 4, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, the scripture says of the shepherd, Isaiah 50, verse 11, it says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. When Christ calls his sheep and puts forth his sheep, brings his sheep either out of among the Jews or among the Gentiles, out of either one of those folds, he brings us out and he puts us into his one fold, his church and his kingdom, and he begins to lead us. And when he's leading his sheep, he goes before his sheep, and he calls his sheep by name, and his sheep hear his voice, and they follow him. It's all hinging on the voice here, and that voice is the chief shepherd's voice. They hear the voice of the chief shepherd, and they follow him. Now, goats are driven. Goats are driven. Sheep are not driven. Sheep are led. Sheep are led. And they follow the voice of the shepherd because they know the shepherd's voice. So Christ's under shepherds, they're not coercing. They're not trying to drive the sheep. That's not the way that Christ leads us, and that's not the way his under shepherds lead. They're not trying to make something happen. They love the sheep because they're one with them. They're born of the same spirit with them. They love the shepherd because they've been redeemed by the same precious blood of the shepherd. They want the sheep to hear the shepherd. They want the sheep to look to the shepherd. They want the sheep to follow the shepherd. And so they are leading according to the word of the scripture declaring the shepherd. And the under shepherd has experienced the compassion and the care of the chief shepherd. And so he's going to lead the sheep with some compassion and some care and lead them like Christ leads him. The under-shepherd has one desire for the sheep. That one desire is for the sheep to hear the shepherd, the chief shepherd, and follow the chief shepherd. That's their one desire. The sheep follow because they know Christ's voice. They know the voice of the shepherd. When you hear the gospel, you know you're hearing the gospel. The sheep, when they hear the gospel message preached, they know they're hearing the voice of their Redeemer. Sheep know when we hear this gospel. And so because you know the voice of Christ, you know the message, you know the voice of Christ, you also know when you hear a stranger's voice. You also know when you hear a message that's not the message. You know that. And he says here in verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. John put this pretty simply over in 1 John 4:5. Speaking of false preachers, he said, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that's not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, Christ declared plainly, I am the way. I am the door. He declared that plainly. But the false shepherd's going to say, well, that's true, but there's some other things that have to be added. There's some other things that have to be added. There's some other ways, and he's trying to climb up over the wall a different way. And the sheep hear that. They know that. They recognize that's not the voice of the shepherd. Christ says here in his text, I lay down my life for the sheep. Christ came and laid down his life for a particular people. He laid down his life for those the Father gave him before the foundation of the world. The false shepherd says, well, but there's a sense in which Christ laid down his life for everybody, and he wants to save everybody. The sheep hear that and say, that's not the voice of the shepherd. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. For the sheep. Christ said, by my own blood, I've entered in once into the holiest of holies. He entered the door. He entered in by one offering. He entered by his own blood, and he brought in everlasting righteousness. He brought salvation to his people, and the sheep hear that, and they know that voice. But the false shepherd says, but now, he made that all possible, but now if you really want to make that effectual, you're going to have to do something to make it effectual. And the sheep hear that and say, that's not the voice of the shepherd. That's not the voice of the shepherd. Christ declared plainly, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. The words I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. The flesh profits nothing. A false shepherd said, well, but now, you got to do steps A, B, and C to be born again. You come down the aisle and give your heart to Jesus and let us take you in the back and help you pray through. Do this, A, B, and C, and now you're saved. That's not the voice of the shepherd. That's not the voice of the shepherd. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but the God that shows mercy. And the false shepherd says, well, he wants to. But you're going to have to give him permission. That's not the voice of the shepherd. That's a stranger's voice. Now, somebody will hear that and they'll say, well, that's what I hear being preached all over the world. Well, you're hearing the voice of the stranger. Because the Christ, the shepherd, said, I laid down my life for the sheep. He saved the sheep. He knows his sheep. He said, I will not lose one of my sheep. Sheep will not follow a stranger. Look at verse 8. Our Lord said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Now see that? All that ever came before me? That's more than just those that came prior to Christ's coming. Every preacher who puts themselves personally before or above Christ is a false shepherd. They put themselves before Christ, who puts the sinner before Christ, who puts some requirement before Christ, who uses their own means and their own words in preaching another Jesus that's not another. That's a thief and a robber. That's Antichrist. Antichrist is every false preacher, and collectively they make up the Antichrist. And here's the description. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. He's putting everything before Christ, himself and sinners. He exalteth himself above all that's called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. What's the motive? What's the motive of the false shepherd? Verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, these Pharisees were teaching, thou shalt not steal, because that's what the law of God says, thou shalt not steal. They were teaching that. Well, surely that'd be good to teach somebody not to steal. Well, it's good not to steal. Don't steal. But the Pharisees are teaching, thou shalt not steal, and telling sinners that by keeping that law, they're making themselves acceptable to God. They're making themselves righteous. They're making themselves holy or more holy because they keep that law. See what Brother Rob just read. Christ said, they're not doing the law. And they're teaching others not to do the law by teaching that it's by the law that you can come to God. That's not doing and teaching. There's one way you do the law. You fall on your face and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ who fulfilled it for his people. And you teach others to do the same thing. We can't bring the law down to our level just so we can bring it down to a level where we can actually pretend like we're keeping it. No. That's what Christ was saying. I didn't come to destroy it. It's got to be honored. It's got to be fulfilled. Christ Jesus came and fulfilled it and accomplished the work he came to do. But by teaching thou shalt not steal and telling sinners that by something you do, you're making yourself more righteous or more holy, is robbing the glory that belongs to Christ. That's exactly what it is. Stealing his glory. To steal the sheep. That's what they want. He said another place, to make disciples after themselves. To steal the sheep. You give man something to do and man will flock to that message. You tell sinners that there's some goodness in them and men will flock to hear that message. But the sheep are Christ's purchased possession, and they're not stealing one of them. They're not getting them because they're Christ's sheep. He's not going to lose one of them. But the message of the devil from the beginning and all the messengers of the devil from the beginning is to steal and kill and destroy, to turn you just like the Pharisees. I tell you where you're going to be turned is depending on what voice you're listening to. If you listen to the voice of men, turning you from Christ and turning you to you, that's where you'll be turned. That's what these men were trying to do to that blind man. Christ come and spoke the word and turned his sheep to him and had his sheep ear tuned to him, following him. That's what Christ does for his people. And that's what his under-shepherds are going to preach too. His under-shepherds are just a sheep being saved with the rest of the sheep. But Christ is the good shepherd who gives his sheep life. He laid down his life for his sheep, so he's going to protect his sheep. Look here in verse 10. He said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The false are trying to kill and destroy. He said, I came that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that's a hireling and not the shepherd, who's owned the sheep or not, he sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and he flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and he careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. That's how well he knows his sheep. It's like the Father knows him and he knows the Father. And he says, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Christ didn't lay down his life and shed his precious blood and redeem his people to lose one of his sheep. If he did that for his people, he's going to keep his people. And you can be sure he's going to keep his people. Christ is the good shepherd. And he continues to stand between the wolf and the sheep. And he's going to make his under shepherds do the same thing. A hireling, who is a hireling, is only looking out for self. He does not care for the sheep. His purpose is not to keep the sheep together. His purpose is not to keep the sheep looking to Christ only. He's a hireling. And soon as the wolf comes, soon as any injury, looks like he's going to get any injury, or somebody tries to draw a line in the sand and said, you got to choose me or that, or Christ, he's standing between the wolf and the sheep. That's what Christ does, and that's what his under-shepherd's going to do. The wolf is trying to single out the weak sheep and get them off to the side so he can devour the weak sheep. Christ and his under-shepherd are going to stand between the wolf and the sheep every time. Every time. What was Christ doing? You think about it. That day, Christ is sitting there preaching this message. You know what he was doing? And this is how he stood between the wolf and the sheep. Christ is preaching and declaring to them the truth that he is the great shepherd. And he's standing right there that day between the scribes and the Pharisees and that blind man he had saved and the rest of his disciples. He's standing between them and the wolf. Between them and the wolf. Christ is one with his sheep, and therefore he knows us and he loves us and he provides for us constantly. He said, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. He's saying, that's how well I know my sheep. Like the Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I know my sheep, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You think about this. He came into this world, born of a woman, and went through every single dark valley we go through. He went through every high we go through. He went through every low. He went through every trial that we've gone through. He knows his sheep. He knows his sheep. And our Lord Jesus is the great shepherd who has the power to work in the hearts of his sheep, make his sheep know him, and make us know that he will provide for us. He will protect us. He laid down his life for us. In fact, right now, we're already at the right hand of God in our shepherd. So he's going to keep us going through this valley. And this is the heart that he's going to give his under-shepherd. And it takes him knitting the heart of his under-shepherd together with his sheep. Men can't do this. No under-shepherd can do it, and none of the sheep can do it. Christ has to knit the heart of his under-shepherd together with his sheep. And the way he does that is the tie that binds us is Christ. It's Christ. His under-shepherd and his sheep are looking to Christ our great shepherd, rejoicing in Christ our great shepherd, following Christ our great shepherd. Why do you need a shepherd? Why do we need a shepherd? Because sheep are dumb. And that's what we are. We're dumb. Spurgeon said it's an insult to sheep. Well, that's why we need a shepherd. What's that staff? What's that shepherd's staff? It's the gospel, where he takes us and gently pulls us back. Or he comes and he lifts us up and he brings us back. And that's what we try to do for one another. That's what his under-shepherds try to do. But you have to wait on him to open the door. You have to wait on his time. And you have to wait on him to speak the voice to make it effectual. Because you can't any other way. But he does. Let's go over to Psalm 23 and we'll end with this. Psalm 23. I just want to read this whole psalm. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means I'm not going to lack anything. I'm not going to be wanting anything. Anything I need, really need, he will provide it. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's deep waters, deep waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, sometimes he's going to lead you through that dark valley. But he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Isn't that what he does? We're sitting here feasting on the word of the Lord right here, right now, in the midst of our enemies, and they're surrounded by enemies. If he took his hand off and let men do what was in their heart to you and me, you know what men would do? Exactly what we did to Christ and crucified him. That's what's in man's heart right now. The only reason men aren't exercising that right now is God's restraining hand. The only reason. And right in the middle of this world of enemy, he's preparing a feast for his people and keeps feeding his sheep. Thou anointest my head with oil, Spirit of God teaching you, keeping you. My cup runneth over. He doesn't give just in a little scant measure. He's loading his people up with blessings. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our great shepherd. That is the good shepherd. All right, brethren.